I know I can easily teach him how to design visually. For example, we were on one call and I realized he was struggling with Figma, so I just taught him everything he needed to know about Figma to be able to design. Not like every shortcut you need to know anything, like the basics you need to know, auto layouts, everything you need to know on one call. But then, how were you able to use that knowledge to create good products? So I made him start with like the core thing of like user research and going to talk to people, getting comfortable with like talking to people, because that will come. You have to talk to the stakeholders, the management, and everybody. Yeah. I realize he's getting it. He's gradually getting it over time. So yeah, I always go with that.
Okay. Hello guys, welcome to another episode of Janky Talks, and today we'll be talking about creative muscles, how you can develop that as a creative. So before we delve into the topic, we'll be talking. Regan will start with his stand-up, what he's up to, and after that we delve into the topic.
All right, thank you. Well, for me, this month of January is more focused on content creation and my YouTube, right? Like I was saying in our first episode, they say I'm going hard on that, right? So I've started kind of like putting things together for the office. I think last time you came there, I was showing you. You said before, come around. Every time, this is the first time. You know the visit week. We the visit
each other.
But yeah, I've already started getting the things for the studio, and I mean, plenty of ideas there. We've been talking about that. So that's what I'm focused for. I mean, this particular month, just getting that, working with the team to kind of put ideas together and all that. So for me, there's that. And also picking up a new skill. Last time we were talking about that as well. So yeah, for me, it's those two main things this month of January. Yeah. All right. Let's start. Creative muscle. I want to make some start on that particular topic.
You don't get up.
Don't worry, you find something to say. Most times, designers, or junior designers, if I should put it, or people get started, are like, oh, Charlie, how creativity they come to you and all that. They like asking questions because they feel like there's some way to maybe, or a toggle where you can just switch on, you know, to enter that creative mode and all that. But if you start working, you get an experience, you get that, nothing like that necessarily. They just from experience, kind of like just looking at other people's work and all that. For your part, right? Mm-hmm. I said, how many years of experience? Like 20, right? As a designer. Well, how has like your creative journey been? Kind of like just getting your muscles in there and staying creative most of the time.
Creative. So for what I do, product design, in terms of like the visual, the UI.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it came from just years of looking at other people's designs and looking at products. And also this thing, I keep saying it, like I pick a lot of inspiration for nature or the world around us. So that's the things I apply. So stuff like signifiers and all that. Yeah, but in terms of the UI, just look at websites. So I have, if you open my Safari browser, I have like a dedicated, it's a tab group.
Yeah,
where if I see any design I like, this one, I will copy one day. So I just put it there. So like, yeah, just looking at other people's products. Sometimes I go on Mobin, just look at what's, because I think Mobin is like a good reflection
Very, very good.
Yeah, like real products in the world.
True.
So I just go there, look at their flows, how things connect, onboarding, all that. Just if I'm working on a project at that time, that's typically when I go to Mobin, take screenshots, merge them together, create my own. But leisurely, if I'm just working on a browsing website, if I see something on Twitter, I bookmark, open it on my mobile to see how it looks like on mobile, go on desktop, see, put it in the tab, design inspiration tab. Yeah, that's how I build it. Yeah, nothing really major.
From what we were talking about with the whole nature tab group thing, I saw this thing called, I think, a swap file, right? So basically what a swap, I've forgotten the actual definition, but it's like just creating a file with different folders for several things. So it can be nature, it can be product design, it can be pictures of, it can be architecture, anything, right? Where you see something, just put it there. And I remember building a file like that, right? A folder like that. So if I'm about to start a project, I just open this, just go through. And then sometimes you'll be amazed, like, because this is, things will just be clicking in your head, right? And there's this guy, Matthew Encina, right? I was watching a video of his where he was talking about this whole thing about creativity, inspiration, right? And sometimes creativity doesn't actually come from looking at a product. If maybe you can't design product, you don't necessarily have to go to Mobin to go and look at product. He or say sometimes he wants to do something, he can just go decide to go and take a walk and then sit somewhere and be playing music. You know, sometimes you just need to give yourself that time away from what you're actually doing. And then at the back of your mind, you just realize that without even thinking about it, something just goes click, right? So personally, I feel like you don't always have to make that reference to, okay, it'd be product or design. So like you said, sometimes it can be nature. Mm-hmm. You're just walking there somewhere, you just see something and just strike something, you know, in your brain and all that.
Let me add something. So yeah, one thing that I did a lot that I think influenced my design style over like my career was I like architecture a lot. Mm-hmm. So I used to watch a lot of architecture.
Right.
Another episode, Anagba, same story. I used to watch a lot of architecture, like designs, architectural designs. So I was very inspired by Bauhaus. I think I mentioned the guy's name. Dieter Rams. I was very inspired by their designs and how it's minimal, but it has like, it's very functional and it has like, you can, yeah, you could modify it into many things. So that was what influenced my design style a lot. Because if you look at my design, you see there are not a lot of things there. It's very minimal, but it's, it works, it's functional, it goes straight to the point. So yeah, I think it's true. I don't typically do that anymore, but yeah, I know I used to be very influenced by architecture.
Well, I mean, on that, for me, mine is interior design and kind of like industrial, just looking at people build. I can just go to YouTube and I'm looking at 3D model. For example, yesterday I was watching a video of a guy that built a flight umbrella. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, like the whole concept. And those things just gives you inspiration sometimes. And you guys can check him out, Matthew Nsina. He does a lot of interior designs, right? Minimal stuff. So sometimes I just watch him kind of build a studio from the beginning to the end. And like I was saying, sometimes what you're watching has nothing to do with what you probably want inspiration for, but I just see that something just go. Anyways, Mr. Hinson, what about you?
Yeah, so I think you guys were touching on where you are at a point in your career, like you've developed some skill sets, right? I'll touch on when you are beginning.
Right.
Like when you are starting out, how you develop such muscles. So normally what most people recommend is you replicating good design.
Yeah.
Do you get it? So you start by like you see a good design, you replicate. But then what's a good design?
Good.
You see, when we say a good design, what do we mean by that? And most of the time our minds go to just the visual
the
part.
Beauty, yeah.
Which is very important. Because I think there's this, I don't know, but then there's this law, is it that talks about the fact that people's perception about a product being good is
influenced
by how good it is. So that plays
aesthetic usability effects.
So definitely visuals play like a crucial effect, but then good design also solves a problem. So that means you need to consider the functionality.
Right.
Okay, so aside the visuals, you need to also consider the functionality. And most time when we are starting out, the focus, because what I've noticed is when people reach out to me, they are like, they want to understand everything like at a go. But then you can't, because even UX as a whole is like a very broad thing, right? So preferably, I would choose you starting with a UI, right? Visual design. How do you know this one is a good design? Their hierarchy, their color, how they use, go about
white,
their color.
White space and all that.
Color usage, right? And for replication, I think that gives you that boost. And eventually, when you do it for some time, you notice that now you pick up some traits that you don't even realize that you've picked up.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Do you get?
Yeah.
So I think for beginners starting out, you need to, instead of coming up trying to build from scratch, because I've done that when I was starting, I was trying to build for myself, no inspiration, just putting colors here and then eventually you do something. Maybe in your eyes it's good, but then it's not really there, right? So I believe in you replicating to get to that point where now you go to a place, maybe probably you log out of your machine working, then you, something strikes you, an inspiration strikes you. Because then if you've not built that skill set yet, which is coming up with, you would not get that inspo for like good design. So yeah, that's my take on you developing your creative muscle.
You still answered the question about how you go about it, but just to add to the replicating part, I think somewhere 2022, that's 2 years ago. I used to do that a lot on my Instagram. So I just go to Apple's website, Meta, just recreate it.
So,
you remember those
things? Yeah.
Then there was this thing. So I was doing it the year before. And what I realized was, anytime you're replicating a design, right, you get to see the spacing they are using, their color usage, their typography. It just they teach you some things. Then one thing, I think one advice I give to a designer was, even though you are replicating it, also improve on it. Because maybe sometimes you realize, okay, this person did this, I can do it this way. So from just replicating maybe, let's say, 5 different designers, you realize that you just pick your style from that. Mm-hmm. When I was doing the Meta, the Apple, around that same time, I was doing another website, right? Mm-hmm. I was just doing it for fun. Mm-hmm. But then when I started that project, I realized that certain ideas were coming that was like, these components that I already designed were just mm-hmm. like, there's no button, but then when you do these things so much, you realize that it just becomes a part of you. You understand? And again, referencing to the challenge you are doing, before we come to start design, we just look for inspiration, and then we look to all of them, and then just like that, like something just comes up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that part is so important. It can teach you the beauty, the visual part, the functionality part and all that. Looking at something somebody has done, replicating it, and then just learning from it, and also improving on it.
Yeah.
Now, personally, that's me, that's what I want to hear. Personally, because I think we've had this conversation before. You have a way of, I think just like Sam talks about nature, or was Mike. I think he also is architectural, But for you as sensing, where do you normally, you know, pull inspiration or drive that inspiration to get into that creative zone?
Yeah, so it depends on the type of project I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And also the type of inspo I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So I think on one of our episodes, I talked about layouts.
Yeah.
Where I was like, sometimes layouts, I don't go for website layouts. I look at graphic design layout because I want a certain feel. Yeah. Right. So my inspo could be from magazines, how they go about their structure, mm-hmm. right? Or cover art, how they go about structuring things. Right. And I use that to kind of guide the visual direction I want. Okay. So for me, my inspo could come from anywhere, but then typically for product design projects, which, I mean, like you said, Mobbin, right? Mm-hmm. Mobbin is like the right place, especially because it's already built out. So you know it's in a way working, right? So I start from there, go through a couple of like designs online. Sometimes I just use Google search.
Yeah.
It could, you know, sometimes we forget that Google has like, it picks from a whole lot of places. So sometimes a Google search will do and I get places where I can maybe probably will link me to a Dribbble page or someone's website, who knows. But then I kind of gather those, have like a mood board. If it's typography, I have like a mood board for typo. If it's layout, if it's color, then I kind of pick one from each side, merge them. And there's this book, Still Like an Artist.
Whoa,
so where it's like, it tells you that, you know, when there was this trend going on that when you do this design, someone will come, like, you bust my design, like, you stole my design, do you get it? I feel there's nothing like
there's nothing new.
Do you get it?
He spoke about how everything is a remix.
True.
See, just funny story, right? This whole YouTube thing I'm trying to do, right? I was talking to you about JK, right? He's doing a rebrand for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came up with logo options. And for each option, he did a Google search on the image, like the mm-hmm. icon. Then there was this particular one he did last. And because it was the last one, he didn't do a Google search, like skip him. He did a Google search on the whole logo itself, the icon plus the text. Mm-hmm. So Google didn't pull anything. So after setting the options, the team picked that one. Then now he had to go and do thorough research. When he did the research, he found that somebody had designed the same logo on Dribbble. See, he was so mad because he was like, you clearly see that it was like the last option.
Yeah.
He didn't go anywhere to go and see it. He later, so you realize there's nothing new.
Exactly.
There's nothing. Exactly. Somebody will see that and say, okay, he went to somewhere's design, but mm-hmm. then that will not be the case. So that thing is actually a very funny
option. Yeah, so I mean, just remixing it so you could pick from here, pick from here, pick from here. At the end, if you bring them up together, it feels like a new thing, right?
Yeah.
And also, we need to consider the fact that for us humans, we mostly interact with things that we are familiar with.
Yeah.
Like, so let's take, for instance, when it comes to product design apps, right? If for a hamburger menu, we know that this is the icon for that. But then you go and pick some symbol for because you wanted to do something,
redesign the world,
and then you end up confusing users. Mm-hmm. Do you get it? So sometimes you need to be also like considerate when it comes to, okay, do I need to innovate when it comes to this? If not, pick what is already available, try and upgrade if there's a need to,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or make some things, then Charlie, eventually you go see, you will come up with something where you go blow
the remix.
Remixing.
So you think the remix.
It's okay.
I'll not say it again. It'd be very, very true. Because me normally, if it's, let's say, a landing page, I can pick like 10 inspirations, look at each of them, analyze. And I mean, definitely you have to make sure that whatever you're doing is in line with the brand you're doing for. Yeah. Pick components from each of them, just make it your style, and then you have, you know, something new. Anything you'd like to add on that part?
No. I mean, yeah, what you mentioned just now about the existing patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, if you anyone wants to read more, it's called Jacob's Law. So, yeah, basically you just spend a lot more time on other people's platforms than they do on yours. So basically, yeah, they already have existing patterns of how things work. Mm-hmm. So don't go and try and innovate unless it fits your brand or it fits what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But just let it be familiar to them. So if it's a search, put a search there. What's that thing called?
The search icon.
Yeah, it's called something.
Lens.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I'm doing it for you people.
You know what I'm talking about. Don't go and try and innovate unnecessarily. Else, if someone is trying to, especially if it's an e-commerce website, if they want to search for something, that's in on day. Yeah. Or if it's an e-commerce website, make their search bar very visible. Don't go and put it in some hamburger that they have to click before they see there. Yeah, just customers. So yeah, just find out if based on the projects you're working on, the industry, and find out the patterns people are familiar with and work in that. So,
all right. I think somebody mentioned good design, right?
Yeah.
Now, being creative, sometimes we would want to go very wild. Like, you won't boast. And in our previous episode, we were talking about some of the animations, design screens, and all that. How do you balance aesthetics and functionality? Because sometimes you might be so focused, and I think you mentioned something, I forgot the name, the law right now, about
Jacob's Law.
No, the previous one.
Aesthetic usability.
Yeah. The beauty, the beauty is important, right? Yeah. Sometimes maybe you focus on the functionality and then you forget the aesthetic. Sometimes you might be too focused on the aesthetic and then get the functional part wrong. And I mean, just a few seconds ago was something we touched on. How do you balance that?
Okay, so I think first of all, you need to understand the problem you are trying to solve, okay? And the situation you are designing for. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, if, for instance, Apple, they already have a style they follow, visually and functionality-wise, okay? So if you are coming up with a design, definitely you need to make sure you match those requirements. Mm-hmm. You meet those requirements. So for me, when it comes to balancing, I need to first understand what I'm dealing with, right? Do they already have like a visual style? Do I need to innovate, right? If there's the need to innovate, why do I need to innovate? Do you get it? Because at the end, you need to back up your reason for going this route.
Okay.
So if it's adding a fancy animation, why do we need a fancy animation, right? And when we're discussing this collaboration, then one thing I remember touching on the space was the fact that sometimes these animations gives this delightful experience.
Yeah.
Okay. So for instance, currently Asana, when you complete a task, there's this unicorn that flashes, right? Maybe probably it might at start you might think, oh, this thing what they need, like it's just fancy. What's the relevance? Do you get it? But then bear in mind that for me, it helps me, it gives me that motivation to complete another task. Just that little thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it gives this accomplishment feeling that, okay, I've done this, and like it swipes counts like that. Like it give me that vibe, do you get it? So sometimes you need that fancy animation people refer to. So it's like I said, it's about you understanding what you are dealing with. And if there is a need to be strong on the aesthetic, right, the visual side, why do you need to go with that route? If there is the need for the functionality, then why should you go with that route? So then the problem would determine the balance.
So are you saying that there's priority in terms of the two, depending on what?
There will always be a priority.
Okay.
But then at I mean, when it comes to the space, most people will vouch for the balance, right? Mm-hmm. But then at the end, reality, you what notice that there are cases where
fans... Yeah, precedence.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm.
So that's how I normally look at it. I don't know if you have any...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, if you ask me, I mean, any day, what will I pick? Me, I'll pick, like, the functionality and the flow. Not functionality in terms of, like... Like people confuse it with like developers and writing code, but like the flow needs to make sense.
Yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, the user needs to complete a task. So mm-hmm. yeah, if you put the nice visuals there, the flow doesn't make sense. They are not able to complete the task. Cost 90. Mm-hmm. So if you ask me any day, I'll pick that over the visuals. But then again, I feel like they work hand in hand. In the sense of like everything, maybe again, that's me, my philosophy, and mm-hmm. the way I design. Everything on the screen, there has to be a reason.
True.
Yeah, so yeah, and in that reason, if you know that reason, you know it very well. That is how you'll be able to design it in a way that will look good and still serve the same purpose you want it to. So yeah, to me, they work hand in hand, right? So for example, there was this time. So again, I'm bringing up design systems. So I was designing, I needed to design checkbox video buttons. Mm-hmm. Like these are standard things that you want to do. Are they like... system needs to have. Mm-hmm. But then I did not want to go with the standard routes of the regular chat box or the thing inside, right? So I went with an approach that sort of merges. We can have, depending on what we need, we can have either a checkbox or a radio based on like, I wish I brought my laptop so I could show you. But yeah, basically it's, it will be design, but we can't design. So it's like a rectangles mm-hmm. box thing, and there's a check mark in there. So in the case where it's a radio, mm-hmm. the developer can just toggle something in Storybook or like mm-hmm. however they built it to just be able to select one. Mm-hmm. If it's a checkbox, you can select multiple.
Yeah.
So that goes away from the standard way of people interacting with checkboxes or the standard design people know about mm-hmm. checkboxes. Mm-hmm. But then it fits into the design aesthetic we set for the brand. Mm-hmm. Right, so I went with that. So you see that those two, it match, they are hand in hand. It serves the same purpose. I want radio buttons or checkboxes to serve, but it looks different. Mm-hmm. And it's more delightful to use compared to the boring old type. So yeah, like that's just one example. I'm pretty sure there are other examples I can't even think of right now. But yeah, to me, they work hand in hand.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree. But then again, there's a point where, like Instance said, one would take precedence.
Well, yeah, if you ask me, like I said, me, I always... The flow needs to make sense. So for example, there's this guy, Emmanuel, who I'm helping out. He wants to transition into design. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he started. For me, media, if you come to me for mentorship, I won't let you start with the visuals. Because the visuals, I know I can easily teach him how to design visually. Mm-hmm. For example, we were on one call and I realized he was struggling with Figma. So I just taught him everything he needed to know about Figma. To be able to design, not like every shortcut you need to know anything, like the basics you need to know, auto layouts, everything you need to know on one call. But then, how will you be able to use that knowledge to create good products? So I made him start with like the core thing of like user research and going to talk to people, getting comfortable with like talking to people, because that will come
very handy. Yeah.
You have to talk to the stakeholders, the management, and everybody. Yeah. And I realized that he's getting it, he's gradually getting it over time. So yeah, I mean, I always go with that. And once you have the basics of that, like how to create nice user experiences or fantastic user experiences, then you can fit in the visuals.
I agree.
Yeah.
And also, I think I want to touch on this because sometimes when we say functionality over visuals, people mistake it for we saying a bad design.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be bad.
Do you get it? It needs to be good.
Yes.
Yes. So
it doesn't have to be like linear or
yeah.
It needs to be good enough.
Exactly.
As long as your spacing is not, of course, that also plays
a role. Very, very
how
important.
You space things determines like how people see it, as if they see it as a group or
see it as an element.
Yeah. So
perception.
It just needs to be good enough. That's why basic visual knowledge is important, like balancing the design on the screen or like hierarchy in terms of the text size, the font size, the colors and all that. You just need those basics and then you are fine. If you want to get linear, that one, it will take time.
Yeah, true.
Why are you using linear?
I mean, just what I see a lot of people talking about. linear.
Well, still on the topic of, you know, building your creative muscles and all that, we've touched on inspiration from like nature, we've touched on practice. Are there any other things that you, I mean, any of you here have, like, let's say, if, it doesn't have to be picking inspiration. Work or something, but you as you did, you do something. I know you're a married man. Agenda must agenda every episode. Why are you looking away from the camera? The camera is here. All
right, so so with creating muscle, I mean, definitely if you are developing a skill and for it to become more like second nature to you. You need to be consistent, right? And when you become so consistent, since it's now like second nature to you, the efforts required to produce certain designs, right? It takes like less energy time. Or less energy, right? And that's how I view things, because normally when I'm stuck, there are certain things I can design, like although I'm maybe burnt out, but then I can craft something real quick, right? Just because that part of me is solid, right? But then if the problem becomes an issue, when the problem becomes an issue. So I build myself in such a way that when it comes to developing some of these interfaces, I mean, right now it's, like I said, second nature to me. So it's very easy for me to craft something real quick. But then when it comes to maybe a new project, something that probably needs some touch of innovation and burnt out, it becomes an issue. But then I'm not sure we want to talk about how we go about, like, if you are burnt out, how you go about it creatively. I mean, the focus is on the muscle. So for the muscle, I tend to focus on the consistency and the experience. Okay, so because the experience matters. So for someone that's worked in the fintech space for quite some time, right, it's very easy for that person to come up with a new idea or product that's in that particular space. Compared to me, maybe I'm working in, let's say, the nonprofit or e-commerce space, right? Probably it will take me some time for me to design something in that space, right? That's where your muscles tend to come in. For example, Cristiano Ronaldo. The goods.
Why is not being funny?
So, you know, he has done this for some time now, and some of the things he might pull it off, and for an average guy, like this thing, pulling it off for an average guy would definitely be difficult. Right? Yeah. It would take some time. But then for him as a footballer, and as great as he is, like the goats, it becomes like easy for that person. So it's a matter of the consistency and how long you've been in that particular space. So if you want to develop a muscle in a particular space, you need to make sure you've done it for quite some time to develop that. So
I like what you mentioned about like having a lot of experience in a certain industry. Because for me, one thing I always took for granted was how skilled I was, especially in fintech, like building fintech products, because that's like where the larger chunk of my experience comes from, fintech. But then recently I was speaking to someone, like I was just showing him around, and me in my mind, again, because I did not realize it, I just thought, oh, you should know this, right? But then I was explaining, and there was a friend of mine around, and I was like, why did he talk plenty like that? I don't realize, no, I actually know a lot more than like the average person when it comes to building fintech products. Right? Because I've been in that space for like a while. And so it makes a lot of sense when you say it that way. If and going back to what you said about like the Cristiano Ronaldo and Alice, like if you ask any of them how they do some of their things, they won't be able to tell you. So it's typically like if you notice people on the outside who can say, oh, this person did it this way or this person did it that way. For example, if like Saka or Kendrick drops a bar, to him, he just drops it. Like he says a random line, but people on the outside want to digress it and say, oh, this is what this means, this is what this means. But then to the artist, that's not what it actually means. There's one thing I know for sure was that there was this one time where I went to an event. Sakode was a guest, and then he was being asked, like, how does he come up with his lines? Like, for example, he gave this line, like, this line which goes like, boys be doom kanyam to bob. To me, I felt like that line was very deep because it meant a lot, right? Because it meant like, if you do things on a shallow, I go deep. That's what I saw it like. But when he was asked, I was expecting him to give such an answer. I was like, I mean, bob me too. Like, you don't see it that way because, and that's where the skill comes in and building like your, to him, like his music muscle. Because he has done it over and over again. So he can easily, what you want to talk?
Are you moving to Prudential?
Forget that guy. No, this one will be a long time ago, like 2019.
What had you?
Right. You make it. Oh. So, what did I talk to? So, like, that's where for him, like, his music muscle comes in, right? Mm-hmm. Because he has rapped over and over again for so many years and he has been so consistent that it just comes to him naturally.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was this one time we were saying, when he's listening to a song, he can guess what the rapper is going to say next. And even me sometimes, when I hear, like, I can guess what the person is going to say next. Yeah. Right? So it just comes with building your muscle. If you ask someone, they might not be able to explain it, but it just comes with building your muscle and being exposed to certain things. And that will determine your style and the path you go on.
So the 20 years experience in betraying.
I don't get 20 years experience. I mean, I'm already old.
Well, final thing, and I don't know if this still falls under creativity, muscle, and
creativity,
all that. Muscle, and all that. But, I mean, talking about iterations, right? You know, sometimes it's not always what you design first that will be approved. Sometimes, I mean, you mentioned something about design has to do with solving problems, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you might have a first draft, second draft, third, the fifth one. And that's something most, I mean, beginners. I'm going to say that, why do I have to design so many times? But then you get to a point and realize that these iterations, you do them so many times. You get to the final one, they'll be like, actually, the first four, the first five, how was I thinking? So normal, and I think we've done this on the challenge. Sometimes I don't always stick to the very first one that comes, right? Because you do the first one, duplicate, clean the canvas, and then realize that new ideas will just be coming. So sometimes I just give myself that freedom. There's this project I took recently, the one I was talking to you about, the core, right? Quick delivery and all that. And the first design I did for the guy, I was about to send it, I was like, nah, chill. So I just turned off him, I went to bed, woke up the next day. And then, like, fresh ideas came, right? I sent it to him, and the new one that I did was the one that was approved. So then I asked myself, okay, what happened if I send the first one? Right? So sometimes I feel like you just need to just iterate on whatever you've done, the first one, the second one. You look at the second one, it can still be better, right? You just give that room for alternative. I mean, you don't have to give them so many options or you don't have to develop so many options, but that kind of just improving on what you've done just also helps, you know, build that muscle.
Also, to touch on the iteration bits, when you get, like, experience developing in a particular space for a very long time, sometimes you end up not doing a lot of iterations.
You get to see the end very, very early.
Because you've done it a couple of times. You know what works
and what doesn't.
So sometimes, that's how come sometimes when you send a design to a senior designer, right? Sometimes, from just a glance, they can tell you what's wrong with
what to improve on.
And what you can improve on. Just because they've done it over some time and now they can easily tell what can work and what cannot.
True. All right. Alote. Would you like to add anything?
Good question.
Mr. Experience. Would you like to add anything?
What is the question again?
No. Just on the whole iteration thing, if there's anything you want to add.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not much. But yeah, iteration, they need.
You need it.
Yeah, it's important. I think, not even with that, we don't want to go into the creative block, but I feel like one key thing when you're having a creative block that at least it helps for me is just start designing something, right? There's this thing called like a snowball effect. The more you keep going at it, the more you gather momentum and you get more ideas on how to go about whichever design it is you are building. So just keep at it. I know for a fact, the Junkyard website and everything, and the Design Junkies website and everything, what you see there is not what we started with. But once you just you know this is what you have to do. Oh yeah, they are there. No matter what you do, you have to do it.
You have to do it.
So just start. The first draft you come up with the best, but that's not the idea. You just need to go.
Yeah.
And then once it clicks, everything will work for you. But yeah.
All right, amazing. If there's nothing else, I think we can get to the other segments.
What's trending?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
No wrap up, or you just jump.
No wrap up when we are done. Yeah, too.
Right. So, what's trending? So, I don't know if you guys have seen this scamorphism.
Mm-hmm. It's been on the previous one.
Yeah. Okay. So, scamorphism. Yeah, this time I get them right.
Skeuomorphism.
Just take what he said.
Skeuomorphism. Flat design. Right? Yeah. There's been this hype around the fact that it's dying now. And for me, I don't agree.
Yeah.
Because the industry, we have, like, the industry is
so many
things.
I think what ties to what we've been saying. It depends on what you are building.
Exactly. Yeah. And
it depends on what you are building.
Sometimes it creates this care
to designers coming up when they are learning. Yeah, true.
Especially if they are looking up to you as a designer or a senior designer and you keep tweeting these things or supporting these things. I think there should be some context to it where you let them know that, okay, it's now there's that trend, like it's been on the rise for some time, but then it doesn't necessarily mean it's taking over the whole design space, because you can't tell me everything product-wise will be looking the same.
Yeah, true.
No, it depends
always
on
be
the
different.
For instance, the game industry, definitely you know that flat design doesn't necessarily work in that space.
No.
I mean, you have people doing that, but then you see most of the designs not being like flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that space, if you tell me like flat design is being like out of the system, probably I might agree with you. But then you have fintech space, you have like the banking sector, and you are going to do this.
It's not going to work.
Or you doing this gradient thing on a button, you know, fancy stuff. It doesn't work. And I want us to like talk on it, like your take on it generally. What do you think? Do you agree with them in that sense? Or
well, 2020 or 2021, that's where this whole skeuomorphism came out. Right?
That was pneumorphic.
Pneumorphism was one of the early releases. Yes, true. Yeah. Now, at that time, I was a beginner and I saw this thing. Honest truth. I was pressured because I was like, hey, Charlie, I mean, I start, you know, and it was so complex. So I started, I mean, back then I was using XD. I started like learning how to go about it, how to go about it and all that. But then I came to realize that, nah, those things are just trends. Because then after like a year and a half, you don't really see people pushing that anymore. You don't see real products using that, right? Like you were saying, flat design is always going to stay. Reason be that there's some product that you cannot build using that styles. You cannot build a financial or a fintech product and then be using 3D buttons, right? You want to look serious.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
You cannot, you cannot build a, let's say, a fintech app and be using a lot of illustrations because people want to relate with faces and humans and all that. So, flat design on that particular topic, if you ask me, I'll say, I don't see at what point that is going to fall out. Unless, of course, everybody agrees that if we use 3D buttons, then we mean seriousness at that point. You understand? Because it's like I don't see it. Like you said, when you go to the gaming industry, at that point, if you say flat design, it's not going to. What the style they have is going to be very consistent, right? Having bright colors, creating like futuristic layout and all that. That is the game industry. That is the movie industry. So it makes sense. But then when you come to the part where money is involved, people's lives are involved and all that, and you have to be ingredients now. 3D buttons, inner shadows. Those things are beautiful. But like we were saying in one of the previous episodes, like Rive, it depends on the product. Rive is building products for you to animate your stuff. So they are going to use, you know, bright colors,
interactive,
complicated
stuff,
like animations and all that to just get your attention. There's the point where you use those, you know, design styles and all that, but I feel like certain industries cannot allow for that or afford that.
Yeah.
Understand?
For me, dear, me, dear. No matter what happens, skeuomorphism or neuromorphism, me, I have, yeah, I believe in timeless design. And yeah, that one exactly. is just simple.
Flat.
Yeah. Whether you call it flat or not, me, yeah, there's a reason why I don't even bother myself following these news. Whether you call it flat or not, call it whatever yeah. you want, right? But me, I believe in simple, sticking to the core design principles. Whatever is invoked at the time, you can implement it if it fits the context. Yeah. But if not, guy, go. Because I was at this Cool and Cocktails. I met this guy. I think he works at Haptor, where I used to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention their name. And then he was like, he feels like my style of design will never leave Haptor. Mm-hmm. That was what he told me. And I was like, why? I mean, yeah, we had a discussion, a long discussion about it, whatever. But yeah, that should go to tell you that if you stick to the core design principles and not try to do things that are invoke, yeah.
People can always.
Yeah, the product you build, it can last for a long time without you always having to do a redesign every year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, because I remember when I joined Haptor, that was when Neumorphic was invoke. And I did Neumorphic. Is it when I picked your phone? Yeah, I was trying to look for a page. I did a 404 page for them, and it was neuromorphic design. At that time, it was cool. The way I did it, it was cool. And the guy was telling me about Kwame, he implemented it. But then, as I got more experienced, this thing, someone with visual impairments will not be able to see what I've designed because it's basically white.
Yeah.
And there's some shadows and things in there. So then, I mean, what is done is done. I couldn't change it that much. But yeah, that should tell you. I mean, yeah, it's fine if you are in it, but just build your skill set a bit more. You realize what is good design, what is not so good design. And you will not be moved too much by what is happening in the trends. Yeah, there are design trends, but yeah, there's still timeless design. And there's a reason why Apple has, when you see an Apple product, you know. When you see like a certain brand's product, you know, because they do timeless design, right? Apple may have, people may have their issues with Apple's design, whichever company's design, but there's this company. So, build your basic design skills. Yeah. Understand the spacing, the colors, how to use them, how to use typography. You should be fine. Nothing will shake you.
Yeah, I think, like you said, most of these are trends, and they come and go. If you look at, is it 2021 Web 3, right? Or is 2022?
Web 3, 2022.
Oh. Yeah, 2022.
Yeah, that was when we started. Yeah.
I mean, this thing came, and I was showing you some, I mean, where I was working, the crypto company. Were designing a lot. And what I realized at that point was, it was all about colors, bright gradients, dark, 3Ds, dark theme, right? And they were all following this. It got to a point, client's project come. Just look at the previous one you did, pick inspiration from there, pick elements from there, and then you just design a new one, right? Mm-hmm. All those things were just trends. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't even see them a lot on the timeline, Twitter, because people, everybody was hopping on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, those things are nice when they come because me, I always jump on just to learn something, right? But it doesn't have to determine where design is going, if I should put. Like Sam said, timeless design, flat design will be there, right? It's not Web 3, bright colors, gradient, what come. I'm not going to pronounce that word. What come, that is going to, it's going to change the, flat design or the industry in terms of design and all that. So those things are nice. If you can jump on, learn. So to learn how to use your shadows, your gradients, and all that. That's what I do most of the time, just to learn. Because when I was pressured back then, and I still learned, I realized that now I'm quite sad. I'm sorry, but I didn't pressure myself anymore. So my take is, it's not ending anytime soon.
Okay. Also, just to wrap it up, buttress your point. Sam touched on the fact that your fundamentals needs to be set. Because then, it becomes easy for you to move into a new space. Mm-hmm. So let's say currently, I think there will be that trend of spatial design, right?
Yeah.
So now if you, as a designer, you've worked in, let's say, a fintech industry, and now you're in a company where they are focused on spatial design, right? Mm-hmm. If your fundamentals is not solid, definitely it will be very difficult for you to adjust. Mm-hmm. Because mind you, it's just a it's the same thing, but just the visuals are a bit different. Do you get it? But then the fundamentals remain. Your hierarchy, how you go about your color usage, type, everything matters. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So for creative muscles, definitely you don't need to be in a rush to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Just go through the process, practice on a regular, keep going at it, like whatever you are doing, just keep going. Eventually, you get to that point where it becomes second nature to you.
Nice. Yeah. All right. On the topic of what we've been saying, flat design and all that, you guys can let us know your thoughts in the comment section. All right. To the last segment for this particular episode, which is question of the day.
The day.
Yeah. Shout out to Philip. Number one fan, I can confidently say that.
if
you think you are challenging, please show us. Philip.
He has a question for us. Right. So it is, will the design junkies ever turn into a design agency? Or is there an agency plan in the horizon? Now, Philip, please, sorry, right, but you spelled the name wrongly. So let me correct you so that stuff doesn't fight with you. The design. DSGN and then junkies, which is all together. Now this is to every other person. Design junkies. All right. Is there any plan like that?
I mean, yeah, there is. I think like everyone does like the most logical step in our evolution. So there certainly will be. It's part of the plans, but yeah, Omar, step by step. We have a lot of things on our plates right now, so we'll get there. But if you get any clients, I beg, bring them. Will they bleed? The camera has to go by, they will bleed.
Your kidneys.
But yeah, it's part of the plan. So, yeah, step by step. We are just taking it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started off just audio with no mic, but now, see where we are.
Yeah, at least now we get it so far.
The set is blank. The set is blank, but give me time. Just give us time. But yeah, that's the most logical next step in our evolution. Inshallah, we'll get there. And if you have a gig for an app, Philip Flatter, you know I'm going to bring on. So
yeah,
that's the most logical next step. Inshallah.
All right.
You guys want to talk something?
No, Miguel, shout out to Philip.
Hey,
it's a handle. I forgot it. Like,
handle, what change you?
Philip Codes.
Yeah, I think Philip, Philip was the first
underscore.
One.
Underscore.
Yeah. But he had a different handle.
Yeah, I think he changed it to fit the developments.
Philip Codes.
But yeah, shout out to you, Philip. Like, we really appreciate you. We want you on this set, on the podcast, or any of our contents, even if you did dinner with a goal, just.
But did
free, able to. If you pass on my mind today, then you like, you can't wait to be that. But yeah, shout out to you. Thank you for the support. I think that's the answer.
All right. I guess that'll be it for this episode. I've forgotten the number, but 2 times 2 + 1 - 1. This is -1, episode 3. We'll catch you in the next one.